Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You probably could kill me with beats, but it would take a lot.
What three wrestling matches would you watch if you were stranded on a desert island? This is what I'm asking wrestling's best. In the ring, around the ring, behind the scenes, or behind a microphone. I'm Tom Campbell. Thank you for joining me on Cultaholic Island for another episode of Desert Island Graps.
From Providence, Rhode Island.
There's a tenuous line between brave and stupid. And I think we've all figured out over the past few months that Beta Scott has a little trouble navigating the difference.
I am the heart of Shimmer. You've never appreciated me for the gift to professional wrestling that I am.
I am a delicate freaking flower of a woman. And I'm demanding that you tip your cap to me and step aside.
Come on, Solo. I know you call yourself a squirrel girl, but you're not a chicken too, are you? Beta, you're killing it.
See you in Dallas, nerds.
So at time of recording, we're just a couple of days into January. Beta Scott, did you have a good Festivus?
Great. I'm not a huge Christmas person, so it works well for me. Growing up, I wasn't a big Christmas person. I have several different holidays that we celebrate in my family.
What was it that got you into Christmas after all this time?
So I think, honestly, it's just like all the decorations and things like that. Last year... Not this past year, but the last Christmas season, I was in England for a while, but then I went to Japan over that time. So there were Christmas markets, and then in Japan, like, Christmas isn't so much of a thing, like, in terms of a holiday. It's more of just, like, there's some, like, Christmas iconography around, and some Tokyo Disneyland is decorated for Christmas and that sort of stuff. So I like the imagery of Christmas. I grew up in the northeast of Pennsylvania, in America, which is snowy, but not like huge blizzards and things. So it's like Christmassy. We have Christmassy weather. But no, wasn't a big Christmas person. A little bit more now. I like the Christmas trees and the Christmas markets and all that.
And you're flying the flag for the most controversial Christmas food of all, which is Brussels sprouts.
Yes. Well, and I also love fruitcake.
Oh, good.
I love Brussels sprouts. I love fruitcake. All of these not so well-liked foods. Although I think for a lot of people, maybe they tried them as a cat. Sorry. I'm sitting in the parking lot of my gym and a cat just ran over the hood of my car. I don't know. I think sometimes people maybe like tried these foods as children where you're kind of in a yum phase. And if things aren't instantly like good to you, like if they're not just sweet, you don't like them. And then they didn't try them again. I don't know. But yeah, no, I love fruitcake. I love Brussels sprouts. Lots of foods that people tend not to eat.
Well, that means surely it means around Christmas time, then you're well fed. Because if there's loads of stuff left over, the people.
Yeah, nobody wants it.
Yeah. We're sending you on a desert island, Vader. We're going to burn for you a DVD featuring your three favorite wrestling matches, matches you're happy to watch over and over again whilst on said desert island. So I'd like to ask you what your first wrestling match would be.
Okay, so I will say, I don't know if these are my three. So I found out this was the premise of this interview, like, I don't know, half an hour ago or something.
Okay.
I wouldn't say these are my three favorite matches, but they're the three matches, maybe not the three, but they are definitely three matches that I rewatch a lot for various reasons. So they're like amongst my favored matches. I don't think any of them are, I don't know that they're necessarily like perfect. One of them is pretty close to a perfect match, but yeah, they have a lot of rewatchability for lots of reasons, or like they, I guess like generated particular emotions when I watched them for the first time. So that sort of thing. These are in no particular order. They're just the order that I'm saying them. So I'd say maybe I would choose Sasha Banks versus Bayley from TakeOver in 2015, Brooklyn.
This is the biggest match of my life. I've been in this position before and I've had this title. let it slip right through my fingers. But not this time, that's right. You're facing the NXT Women's Champion. I'm gonna teach every single one of these little girls that fairy tales don't have a happy ending.
I'm gonna finally prove to the world, prove to my mom who keeps coming to these championship matches and watching me lose, and I'm gonna prove to Sasha Banks.
Here comes Bayley. She's finally had enough.
She was wrong about me, and I will defeat her.
The two talents are awesome. The build for the match was incredible. There was so much emotion behind it if you're watching NXT at the time. So the build to this match was great. Just like ultimate bad guy, ultimate good guy sort of thing. Just two incredibly talented women. But then the match itself is so exciting. The crowd is insane. But for me, just what it represented in terms of like that moment in wrestling where you were like, oh, everything in at least North America is going to be different now, because there's amazing women's wrestling all over the world all the time for decades, especially if you seek it out. But this was a moment on like as close to like mainstream television as you were getting with NXT at the time, where these were two women who it just felt like, oh, this is different. Things are different now. And I think it resonated with people who weren't even necessarily the biggest fans of like women's wrestling or the biggest fans who were like seeking out wrestling outside of WWE and outside of NXT, where they were like, oh, this is something that I'm not used to seeing. This feels different. This feels so important. This feels so huge. And everything was different from them. So I think that was just such a turning point match for what it represented for so many women and so many people in general. It's an incredible match. Like it's such an exciting match. It has unlimited rewatchability just because it's a great match. And then if you go back and just rewatch all the build to it too, that whole package and what it led to, I think is why it's rewatched. So rewatchable. But the match itself is amazing.
It was one of those things where it was groundbreaking in the sense of, you know, it's the first time within a WWE brand that the women's match has gone on last in the main event. But it went on last. It wasn't for that occasion because of a cultural shift. It was because it was easily the most important match of the night. So it had to go on last. It was the match with the most story behind it.
And then like from there, like things just felt, like I said, they just were different. The level of importance that was like that, what followed was great. Everything they're doing now is amazing. And I think it just really shifted women's wrestling in NXT, which I think NXT right now, honestly, in terms of like mainstream wrestling, television wrestling, probably the best women's division. I think I'd say that pretty confidently in terms of just like the diversity of characters and the different styles and the sheer amount of talent. And that kind of all has been a shift from that moment in Brooklyn.
Can you remember where you were when you watched it for the first time?
I was in Brooklyn, but I wasn't at the show. I had worked in Brooklyn myself that weekend for a different promotion. So I was still in town hanging out, and I was watching I wasn't at the show. I believe I watched it live. Did I watch it live? No. I was there, but I wasn't at the show. The women's wrestling in NXT in particular, like in a completely different way. Like the work that went into building this match with all the women involved was just incredible. Like, it was really admirable. And so I think it was just a really important match. The match itself is great. They had, of course, a lot of great matches. They've had tons of great interactions over time. But it's probably that match that I would pick out. Going with all the history of Sasha and Bayley.
You've been part of locker rooms both in the US and quite a lot in the UK. Obviously, your mic is based in the UK as well. How do you find life in the UK when you're here?
I love it. For me, I've been traveling as much as I can in the past. It's been about 2.5-3 years that I've just been doing a lot more outside of America. And I love working with different people, training with different people, all the different crowds. And this, I've kind of been around for, but I wouldn't say, like, I'm sort of around for, but on the edges and the fringes of how wrestling's been changing, like British wrestling's been changing. And I've seen some of that change and some of that shift without being like fully immersed in it, because I don't live there full time. Although at this point I'm living there closer to full time than I am in America. But yeah, no, I love it. I'll be back this year. I'm sorry, I'm like sniffling around. I'm not
That's
sick.
That's okay.
Not that you can catch anything through a Skype call, but I'm not sick. I'm just allergic.
What are you allergic to?
Everything.
Oh, really?
The world. Beets in particular. I'm actually allergic, very allergic to beets. I'm not sick, though, everyone. I'm fine.
When did you find out you were allergic to beets? I want to go down this rabbit hole.
So when I said that I like a lot of foods that other people don't like, I don't like beets. And where I grew up in Pennsylvania, in the States, pickled beets are very much a thing.
Ooh.
I don't know if people really know what they are outside of like certain regional areas in America. I don't know if it's a thing internationally. I've never sought them out, but they're essentially, they're beets. We just call them beets here. I like beetroot better. I think that sounds better because it's literally what it is. But they're just the purple beets, and they're, I believe they're boiled ahead of time, like they're cooked, and then they're put in a pickling liquid. So they turn into these like round, sort of like half crunchy, half soft pickled things, but they still taste like beets. Anyway, when I was growing up, they're very popular with hard-boiled eggs. It turns the eggs purple. I also hate hard-boiled eggs. So these are two foods that, like, I associated with each other, hated them, never ate them. And then as an adult, I was like, everyone loves beets. Beets are great. People are juicing. I'm going to get in on the beet train. So I bought a whole bunch of beets, and I'm like, I'm going to make myself like them. I'm going to force myself to like them. I don't like them, but I'm going to make myself like them. And I made, like, a beet salad and maybe, like, a beet smoothie, and my mouth started to swell up, and my tongue started to swell, and I broke out in hives, and I had to go to the urgent care to find out that I am not, like, deadly allergic to beets. Like, you probably could kill me with beets, but it would take a lot. But I have enough of a reaction that it's not great. And there's beetroot coloring in a lot of things, which is why sometimes, like, I'll get like a headache and I can check and I can see that there's like beet coloring in something, which I don't necessarily avoid so much. But yeah, allergic to beets.
I was gonna say, is there, I think with the exception of beets, or is there anything that you love that you found you're allergic to?
No, just the beets.
Oh, that's all right.
So far, so good.
That's good.
The other thing, and this actually, I guess, could turn tragic, is I love bees, and I've never been stung by a bee, so I don't know if I'm allergic to bees yet, but I really love bees. I love bees, beehives. I know people who are beekeepers, but I've never been stung by a bee, and I've always wondered about it because, I don't know, I feel like something I could be allergic to.
Well, where did your love of bees come from?
Well, they're great. Who doesn't love bees? I guess people who are allergic to bees, probably.
Would you ever become a beekeeper?
I've thought about it. In all seriousness, I think it's really fascinating. So I don't know. Maybe it's on the list.
I could see you getting a farm and having a selection of animals and then making your own honey.
I like the outfit.
Oh, it's a good look. It's a strong look.
I'm not good with white, but I think for this I could make it work.
Second match then for your DVD.
Yeah, there's a topic.
this does happen in these.
I was thinking about stuff and I was like made a list of a bunch of different possibilities, but I think I would go with, in terms of like matches that I rewatch quite a bit, this one I did not see live, obviously, and I didn't see until I was much older, is Magnum TA and Tully Blanchard, the I Quit Cage match from Starrcade 85.
Magnum TA, it's you and me, Starrcade 85, the gathering. That microphone stuck in your mouth, the heartthrob of America, and you're gonna go, no more, Master Tully, no more, this is the last one. I quit.
Well, there's no secret to an I Quit match. Both men are in tremendous shape, but only one man has got the biggest heart in that square circle. Only one man wants it more than the other man, because the other man will have gotten on that microphone and say before the whole wrestling world, I quit, I don't want any more.
I remember specifically seeking it out and rewatching it the first time that I was going to be in a cage match myself. I am someone who loves moves and loves spots, and this match has none of that in it at all. And it's an amazing match. It's one of those other ones that's like nearly a perfect match in a completely different way than I think you might. A lot of people would sort of qualify that. It has so much rewatchability because it's so emotional. And the way that every, like, asking if one or the other quits is done, it's just so emotional and dramatic. But I rewatched it. I sought it out and rewatched it when I had a cage match to do myself.
What did you pick up from that then that you incorporated in your cage match?
So, and I've rewatched it many, 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 many times since then. Again, just for the drama. And I think it's one of those matches that if professional wrestlers want to look at how to add like maybe more drama to a situation, I'm not saying that I'm anyway on this level, but it's something to watch and look at. Just in terms of like there was of course a sense of urgency to everything because it was a cage match, but it was an I quit match. And it was one of those, like, you know, verbally you have to say I quit. And I love I quit matches because I think
flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sometimes they're hilarious. Other times they're really dramatic and over the top. But this one in particular, every single time, like there's a moment in time where Magnum is asking, has the mic, so they're using the microphone as a weapon as well. And there's a moment in time where Magnum is asking Tully if he quits, and he's got the microphone in his face and everyone's bleeding. And Tully doesn't even say no, yes or no. He just sort of like screams. And it's incredible. And the crowd is going freaking nuts and Baby Doll's going crazy on the outside. It's just a great match. The ending is great. But yeah, I think it's just one of those, like, just it's completely rewatchable, even though you know every minute of it, you know how it's going to end.
You said before that you've been a wrestling fan all your life. Can you remember how you discovered watching wrestling?
Absolutely not. I can't. I get asked this question a lot. I was a kid. It was on TV. I have a younger brother. We watched wrestling. And I don't remember like my first match I ever watched or anything like that. It just was around.
It was just something that you and your brother watched together.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you enjoy?
So my favorite wrestler of all time, and I enjoyed him also when I was a kid, even though he was a bad guy, is Owen Hart. I don't know if it was like the weird like sibling like rivalry stuff. I don't know. I loved Owen Hart. I loved just all of his different characters. So I really connected with him. He was always my favorite in terms of like WWF. He was my favorite, just always across the board. And I remember my brother was really into like the over the top characters too. He was like a huge Big Boss Man fan because he wore a police uniform and my brother had a little like police costume. But yeah, like all the favorites, like we were kids and wrestling was fun.
You transitioned into being a wrestler, hence why we are here. A couple of days ago, you put a video on called My Name is Vader Scott.
Here is my proposal. Here is my big pitch. If I can't do this forever, then I'm going to go as hard as I can while I can, because I'm damn sure I still can. Give me any woman, any man, anywhere on the planet. I am staking whatever reputation I still have on this. Why? Because I have to do this. I need to do this. I'm Veda Scott, and I love professional wrestling. I guess I never realized how much I needed to love me back.
What made you pick up the camera that day?
I like talking into the camera. I think it's a part of wrestling where I can really connect with people and connect with fans. And I love doing promos to hype up matches. And I try to do as many promos, like, to hype up individual matches as I can and just stay on top of that. I think it's important. It's a part of wrestling that really connected with me, like people who can talk and promos and things like that. That's something that connects with me as a fan. So I try to do as much of it as I can myself. Because I think it's a good way to just, like, kind of, like, come out of your shell and work on, like, developing character things. But in terms of, like, sometimes I film videos that aren't necessarily, like, match specific. They're more like just communicating. And that was one of them. It was just a thing where wrestling is evolving and wrestling is changing. And I have I've been traveling and going pretty much nonstop for the past 2 years, and now I have, like, a tiny little I was in Montreal at the time for the holidays, and I had, like, a show, and then I finished the show, and then I took a weekend off, and I was like, I don't have a set plan necessarily for the next couple months, and that's kind of what I was discussing. But yeah, It wasn't like to promote a particular match or anything, which I think sometimes makes filming things harder. My goal for the next year, or one of my goals, is to just put more content out there, because I enjoy watching it from other people, and I want to be more part of that conversation in terms of content creators. So I'm also sort of pushing myself with that by making myself do it.
You do put a lot of videos already out there, and if you're going to focus on more, then that's excellent for everybody involved. But yeah, with that one in particular, it felt very real. Like you were like it was something that you needed to get off your chest that day.
No, and it was, and I think that's another corollary goal to my goal to release more content is, and I've had a lot of conversations with people about this, is I have a real life that I keep fairly private, and like I put little bits and pieces of it online, and I'm pretty guarded about aspects of my life, and I think that's important, and that's important, like, for my mental health, and I think it's something that everyone needs to consider when they're on social media. But also I understand that there's a certain level of transparency and a certain level of, like, real lifeness that's kind of transitioning in terms of just in general social media, not just with pro wrestling, but you just see, like, bloggers and celebrities and just in general, just normal, quote unquote, normal people just putting their lives on the internet. And I'm trying to, again, enter that conversation a little bit more too, and be a little bit more transparent about real parts of me without completely, like, putting it all out there, because I also think it's important to hold a little bit of that back for yourself and for your private life.
Yeah, there needs to be a separation. Otherwise, the two blur and you can just spend forever working, basically.
Yeah, so I think that's, like I said, like a sort of a corollary goal to me putting out more content is to be a little bit more, I don't say exposed, but a little bit more, I would say honest either, because I'm not dishonest, but you know what I mean? Like, to just be a little bit more candid. I would say candid is a good term. A little bit more candid, but also maintain a level of private life that I'm comfortable with. And I think that's an important balance for everyone.
I know one of your goals as well this year was to do more stuff on the commentary table.
Yes, I love doing commentary. It's something I work really, really hard at, and it's something that I think I've gotten to be fairly decent at, again, through just, like, working at it and trying different things. And I've had the opportunity to call matches for a lot of great promotions, and I want to do more of it. I want to do more of it in the next year for sure. I have a couple, like, just shows lined up where I've agreed to also do the commentary on them. I do that pretty frequently, where I'll wrestle a match and then I'll call the rest of the show, that sort of thing, like that kind of deal. But I'm also always interested in doing just the broadcasting end of a show, so I can really, like, do a deep dive on things and really focus on that. So I do have stuff lined up. Like, even sometimes it's just, like, I'm on the show and I'll call a couple matches. So I don't necessarily, like, advertise it or have it scheduled. It's just, like, sometimes if I'm on a show, I'll sit down and call some of the show also.
Now, before we get to your final match, the other things you're allowed to take on the island are, and I like to spring this on people when I chat to them, is a movie, an album, and a luxury item. So it hasn't necessarily got to be your favorite movie, but it could be a movie that you like with the matches, you're happy to watch over and over again, an album that you're happy to listen to countless times, and then something to make you feel at home while you're there. So how about a movie? If you could take a movie on the island, what would
it be? Oh, no. I don't have a favorite movie. This comes up a lot. I don't have a favorite movie.
This should not be a hard question. This probably is a very easy question for most people. I'm going to say...
Just the one.
What was the question?
A movie that you'll take onto the island. A movie, album, and a look.
I interrupted you. Apologies.
What was the last movie that you watched? If you're struggling, we can always go with that.
It won't be that one.
Oh, okay.
When I do cardio, I watch romantic comedies on Netflix, like kind of movies that I don't ever sit down and watch otherwise, but I really like to watch while I'm doing cardio.
Does it help?
It does. Because you kind of just zone out to it. I can do like 40 minutes on the elliptical while watching Eat, Pray, Love, which is what I was just doing.
Oh, wow.
That's not the movie, though.
Okay.
So I love Julia Roberts. I will say that. I think she's wonderful.
She was excellent.
Just really fun. But yeah, no, that's not the move. I don't know. Maybe Empire Strikes Back. Maybe.
Good shout.
A lot of rewatchability with that. Fun.
I like that a lot. Okay, how about an album?
Oh, the album would be In the Airplane Over the Sea by Neutral Milk Hotel. It's a perfect album. Unlimited re-listenability.
Nice. And a luxury item.
Geez.
So I'll give you an idea. We've had, who have we had on here? I believe Solo Darling's taking Officer Magnum. She's taking her dog.
Okay.
David Starr is taking a body pillow.
Okay.
Nick Aldis is taking his Jaguar. And Colt Cabana's taking a B-Day. So it's quite a broad spectrum.
Does that have to be a luxury item or can it just be an item?
A luxury item.
Okay. Mine would definitely be a book. In terms of what book, what book could I reread the most?
I genuinely thought you'd say Little Women.
Oh, that's certainly not my favorite book, but it does have a lot of rereadability to it. In terms of something I can, I don't know. What book can I read? What book do I reread a lot? I reread The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy at least once a year.
That's a great choice.
That might be it. Not the whole series, and I would like a copy of the radio series as well if I could have that. But maybe that.
Well, if you're stuck for a movie, can I also recommend you take the 2005 Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie?
You may not. No.
Do you not like it?
No, I'm not. And I love Martin Freeman, too. I was very excited to have him in it, and I did not really particularly like the film.
Oh, that's a shame, because I love the radio series. It's phenomenal. I've just finished reading And Another Thing, and I thought the film was one of it's definitely in my top three. I really love it.
The more I think about it, I might have to choose the book as my luxury item. I have a 42 tattooed on my ankle, so I feel like it's fitting.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, definitely take a couple of Hitchhiker's Guide books. That's fine. Yeah. That makes sense. Right. Your third and final match, Vader, before we let you go. What's it going to be?
Narrowing down to three is hard. I will pick one that I just rewatched the other day and that I rewatch semi-frequently, and it'd be Miko Satomura versus Io Shirai. In particular, their match from Stardom in 2015. They've had a bunch of matches. This one, I think, is the best. It's very, 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 very close to a perfect wrestling match. It might be a perfect wrestling match.
Where were you when you watched it first time?
I watched it. I wasn't there live. I just watched it on the internet. So they've had a number of encounters. I think this one is the best one. It's 43 minutes long. I want to say like that. It's quite long. The crowd. So it's from 2015, but it's the end of the one of the end of the year shows for Stardom. So it's like I don't know the exact date. It's probably December 23rd, 24th, like end of the year, like their year end climax show. The crowd is insane. The emotions are all there. I mean, Miko Satomura is probably just the best. She's just phenomenal on every level. And Io is so good in this, and this is her developing but already being great. It's such a great match. If you haven't watched it, please watch it. But yeah, I think that's another one that just has so much rewatchability to it, because there's so many nuances. There's so much emotion, and but it's exciting every time, no matter how many times you watch it. And I think that's sometimes hard to capture in rewatchability in a wrestling match, if it's still exciting when you've already seen it.
It says something about a match when, as you say, you know every step of it, but you can't help but check it out over and over again.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what I was going for when I was picking these matches, and I'm sure I have other ones, but like just the idea of like, it's still exciting and it's still engaging, like rereading a book or rewatching a movie.
Wonderful. Well, that'll do it for our time. This has been lovely to chat to you, Vada. It's been really, really lovely. Where can people go to find out what you're doing next? What have you got coming up? Just go for it. This is your time to plug away.
So the main place to follow me is on my Twitter. I'm sure it'll get linked, but it's Vada time. That's pretty much where I put everything is on there. I have an Instagram and a Facebook too, but I don't update them as much. So I would definitely say go to Twitter. I have a YouTube channel that I don't use, but I swear that I'm going to start using. So I'll link stuff on there too. But yeah, it's the Twitter is the main thing for me. You can find everything on my Twitter.
Vada, this has been lovely. Thank you so much for dropping by.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.